Debbie's hearing corridors. Mike, too. Exodus 20.
All of them still out there.
Somebody's lurking out there. Verse 12, Exodus 20. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. Psalmist says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Lord, if it something takes us in the right direction, it draws us near to you, helps us to avoid pitfalls in life. It is for that reason and many other reasons something that we would love, to be guided in the right way. Lord, when we want to go the wrong way, we do not love your law. So, Lord, we pray for a desire for your law and even an appreciation in our society for it. For much of our society is still held together by the law of God, even though we've wandered so far from it. Help us tonight with this commandment in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at the Ten Commandments, people reject them, and we know that. But on what basis do they do that? And there's a lot of bases for that. Take the illustration of a young boy who wants to drink some sugary drinks from the refrigerator, and his mom says, no, you can't. I want you to drink a glass of milk. Oh, Mom, a glass of milk. So she persists. He wants to drink, you know, some kind of sugar juice. No, you got to drink some milk. So he goes there and he's upset. He pulls the milk out, gets ready to pour a glass of milk, and he notices something that lightens his eyes, makes him have hope. The expiration date is past. And so he says, Mom, I cannot drink this milk. It's sour. It's past the expiration date. Mom looks at it. Okay, then. He gets out of it because it's out of date. One of the most common ways people get out from the scriptures and from the law of God, from the Ten Commandments, is to say it's out of date. You hear it all the time. It's an old book. Times have changed. People are different. Times are different. That was an old way of viewing things, and we see things differently today. We've learned more now than they knew back then. For a number of reasons, it's expired. It was good then, just like milk. You get it for a week or two, and it's okay for that length, but after that, it's sour. Well, that's the way the law of God is. If you look just the four we've looked at, the first table of the law regarding love of God, you can see that it's that way in this. To tell people today, you shall have no other gods before me, is not only incorrect to the world, it is mean. To deny Islam, their God, to deny Buddha, Buddhist, their God, to deny the people of India, their gods that they worship so religiously, they believe in with all of their hearts, and to say that those gods are not true gods, or the way of salvation is not that way, is incredibly proudful in the eyes of the world. And they say, we've grown so much, we're tolerant now about other religions. We used to be intolerant. We're tolerant now today. We are so tolerant, we can't say bad things about other religions. You can say bad things about Christianity, but not other religions. You got to give people respect, because you see, the world doesn't believe in God anyway, in a practical sense. So it doesn't matter what they believe about God. So why make a thing about it? It's unimportant. There's no reason to make a fuss, because it's all past anyway. We've grown up. We accept all kinds of things today we would not have accepted 100 years ago in society. I could even go back 10 years. There are things that we would not accept then. So, that one's gone. So that would take the second one out too, about not making an image, an idol, of God or another God. lest you be led astray by them. And it's an offense to God to do so, to make God's likeness something on earth is wrong. Even to use it as a means of worship, it's wrong. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Are you kidding me? Have you watched any movies lately? Jesus and God are used all the time in an empty way. It's been that way for years. You can't make a movie. It's almost like they've got to put a beep in there somewhere just to get people to watch it. Or don't beep it. To use God's name in an empty way, to use Jesus' name in an empty way, to ascribe to Jesus things that he does not teach. We've become, now we have adult language. It means we've grown up. Adult language. People cuss, and it's called adult language. Because I guess it means we've grown up and learned how to cuss. How old does a boy have to be to learn how to cuss? I know I'm supposed to say curse. But, okay, you curse. You say a curse word. I mean, I was hearing those in the third grade. And you don't have to be an adult to use that language. It's just when you get to an adult, you're jaded, and you no longer care how you sound, I guess. So that's gone. We've run past that one. The Sabbath day, of course, we've gotten past that. To put aside one day out of the week for the worship of God, to rest, and to break the normal commercial run we're on to make money. For one thing, the evolution has proven that the seven-day week has no basis. For God to have made the world in 6 days and rest on the seventh, so we're going to rest on the seventh. Evolution has blown that out of the water, the world thinks. And to put one day above another, the weekend is the time that people give most of the time to themselves because they don't have to work. I mean, some do, but the regular work week, Monday through Friday, they're having to work for somebody. They get off on the weekend, that's all theirs. So the Lord's Day, forget that. It's not the Lord's Day. It's my day. So when we get to the second table of the law, which has the last six commandments, it's a little bit different because the things that are commanded here regarding the love of man, the love of neighbor, we really don't want people to do those things to us. For example, you skip down to the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. We don't want people to murder us and our loved ones. And you shall not commit adultery. We don't want someone to commit adultery against us, to violate our marriage. You shall not steal. We don't want anybody to steal our stuff. Or bear false witness. We don't want anybody to lie about us. And coveting, we don't want anybody at least wanting our stuff instead of us, although some would say, it's okay that you want it, but you can't have it. And I don't mind you admiring that I have it. But for the most part, these things cause strife and conflict and very great harm. And so we don't want those things to happen to us. But even then, with the fifth commandment, people are going to fuss. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. We now live in a society with a lot of single parent homes, many, many single parent families. There's a mother, not a father. And so how does that apply? Honor your father and your mother. Well, we don't have a father, or we don't have a mother. It doesn't apply. We live in a time when there's so many single-parent homes that this is not a valid commandment today. Children are more farmed out to others these days, in daycare and other things, schools. We've gotten a new way of dealing with kids. Honoring father and mother, that doesn't go far enough. It's got to be the daycare, the schools, the government programs and stuff of that nature. It's awful simplistic to put all that on mother and father, they say. The times are also moving so fast and changes are taking place so much that parents just can't keep up with the world. Things have changed and Parents can't lead children as well as the state can, or the federal government can, or the schools can, or the social services can. So it should read that you should honor your local social services department or your state agency, because they're the ones that really know. They're the ones that can keep up. The psychologists, they can keep up with what needs to be done. They can track the current trends that are taking place among children and the pressures they're under and all the bullying that takes place and all the peer pressure and the drugs that are offered and the temptations that are out there. They can do that a whole lot better, it said, than a mother and father. Plus, it's not often admitted, but it's many times thought by kids that kids know a whole lot more now than they used to. Kids got the internet now. If you're any testimony about how little we know, it's when someone says, "Hey, I learned it on the internet." There's going to be 100 versions of that, what you learned on the internet. But people think that, and every age is guilty of this, I believe, that we're more enlightened. Our eyes are open more. You know what they call people today? Social justice people, wanting this and that in social justice areas. That's all they're caring about. They say they're woke. They woke. It's like they were sitting, and they see all this stuff, and we got this happening over here with racial things and heterosexual and homosexual things and all kind of relationship things and gender things and feminist things. It's just at one after the other, and people are woke, and they say, we got to do something as a society entirely different and change all the whole fiber. So honor father and mother, that's way outdated. Many kids are alone when they get home now. Back when this was written, kids were home, had a parent home. At least one. Most of the work was home-based. You were a farmer or kept cattle or something like that. You were near the house. Well, that's okay then. Your father and mother's there, but now it's not there. You got to rely on schools and other institutions. And it could go on and on. Some people just say, well, if you look at the Bible and you see the things the Bible teaches, we can't let kids be hearing this stuff because that's just not right. And so they feel like always that the Bible's outdated and they've got the latest thing. So the first commandment is just straight up honor your father and your mother. Honor is a word that means to give weight to. You can treat something lightly. You can treat a person lightly. You can dismiss them out of hand. You cannot listen to what they say. That's treating them lightly. That's considering them a lightweight in your perspective and attitude. But to give a person a certain weight of glory even, that's what honor means. To raise someone up as significant. To see them as important, to be revered, not worshipped, but to be revered. Honor your father and your mother. Your father and your mother, both working in tandem to the same purpose, having one standard, having one goal to raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, ideally. But to, as children, honor them. I told you this before, but it's amazing to think about it. When Jonathan Edwards or his wife would walk into the room in their home where the children were sitting, the children would stand up in respect. You're saying, what's so different about that? My kids have done that all their life. That's pretty pretty different. But that was honor. Respect your elders. We've taught that just because they're elderly. But then parents are have an authority there. So we give weight to their position. And we honor them. And we speak kindly to them. We treat them as someone that we are not the equal of, but that they are above us. We don't call them by their first name, although there is certainly some exceptions to that. My brother used to call my mom Rube for a little bit there. Kind of a playful thing. Her name is Ruby. But he's in ministry now. Surely he wouldn't do that now. But that he did. He did something. You call them by names that are more fit to their position, and you honor them by your behavior, by your obedience. Honor includes obedience. You can't honor your parents if you just ignore them. That's not giving them weight. That's making them light. If you disobey them when they speak, well, then there's no honor there. If you have your own ideas that you go your own way, which is fine once you can move out of the house, you're on your own, you got your own family, but as a child growing up, you're supposed to honor by obedience and to listen to them while they teach you. Parents have a lot to teach kids. Kids, it's interesting to me that animals can have babies on their own within a few months after they're born. Cats, after a few months, they can raise a family, and they know how to do it. They don't go to the hospital to make the babies come out. They don't go through training classes about how to change the diaper and feeding schedule and what will be good for them to eat. They just do the whole thing, and turns out pretty well. So kids have to be taught. They don't know anything. We don't know anything. We have to be told what's right and what's wrong. We may have an innate sense of right and wrong because we're made in the image of God, but that has to be defined and focused. And a parent does that and tells us not to do this. A parent corrects us if we use a word that is not proper. And if we're acting in a way that is not obedient or respectful. And so all that starts with a parent. And it is rebellion. And you could look at it this way. Parents are to us what God is to everybody. God is to be obeyed. God is to be honored. God is to be glorified. God is to be listened to. We're to give the proper weight to God in glorifying Him. When He speaks, we hear and we learn and we do. But in the family, in the home, the parent takes that place. God is there, but God is leading the family through the parents. The Puritans call the father the pastor of the family. He's the one that would make sure that the children were being taught the things of God. Even if he was not himself involved in it because of other matters, he was one who did teach and did make sure that the children were taught and that they learned about the Lord. That is an integral part of society. Now today we're talking about men being able to conceive and have children. We're talking about test tube babies, cloning humans, all kinds of things we could do that we probably should not do. And just eliminating, if we can, the family. Because it is such an integral part of our society. It is key to us to be in a good family. And those who have a good family, a good father and mother, who care for the children, teach the children, is a blessing that will never, ever be despised if they truly understand it and receive it. And if we had good families, our nation would be a whole lot better off right now. If there were two parents raising children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, teaching the things of God, how to behave, what's right and what's wrong according to the Scriptures, it would be a whole lot better world. But when they're on their own,
there they go. You got to protect kids. Kids get into anything. My brother and sister ate a bottle of children's baby aspirin because it was, you know, flavored. Because they could. They got up in the cabinet and they got it. And they ate them. And had to have their stomach pump or something. Because we don't know. We have no idea. We don't know that's hot. We can find out two ways. We can touch it, or we can listen to our parents say, don't touch that, it's hot. And I like the parent way. That's what God has given. So as a basic fabric of society, honor your father and your mother. But notice there's a promise here. That your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now they're going to the promised land. So he's looking ahead at that time that if they will honor their father and their mother, and this is the only commandment that I see that has any kind of promise to it. And Paul noted in Ephesians 6, this was the first commandment with a promise. And that promise being what we see there, that your days will be prolonged. Now, there's an extended in the second, you know, Deuteronomy means the second writing of the law, the restatement of the law. But if you go to Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, here, this is where the Ten Commandments are restated for the people later on. You know, they got them there at Mount Sinai, but later on they were restated, Deuteronomy 2. And so here, excuse me, verse 16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. That it may go well with you is added there. That's what he means. So, if you obey your parents, if you honor your father and your mother, the Lord says he'll lengthen your life, your nation, the goodness, all the well-being will come because of that. So that's quite a promise. Now, why is that? Why would that happen? Is it because God will just sovereignly give blessing because you obey? Well, I don't doubt that's true. But also it's because by obeying your parents, you avoid a lot of problems. A lot of things that are going to shorten your life. A lot of things that are going to give you a lot of trouble. Cut down on your prosperity. I mean, prosperity in the sense of having life and enjoying life and living life to the fullest without hitting yourself in the head and messing it up. This command is serious. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, talking about the last days. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. And a lot of kids saying, wait a minute, that has no place in that list. That list is about bad things. Disobedient to parents. My parents don't know enough to me to obey them. They don't. They're stupid. You hear what they told me? That I need to get home by midnight? No, none of our friends get home by midnight. So, Paul puts it there in saying that, you know, someone who's disobedient to a parent is right there with those who are lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. It is crucial. It was such a thing. And imagine this law today. Deuteronomy 21:18 says this. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them.
Then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst. And all Israel will hear of it and fear. Now that's only proper for a theocracy, which Israel was. But you can tell from the actions themselves that you stone a rebellious child, you snuff out the evil in the very core of society and be rid of it. That's how serious it is to the Lord. It was so serious in Ezekiel 22. One of the reasons that children of Israel were exiled, he says they have treated father and mother lightly. Remember, lightly means you disrespect them. They've treated father and mother lightly within you. So they just mistreated their parents. But we're told over and over. And there's more than one list where disobedience to parents is put with a bunch of evil things. But Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Proverbs 20:20, he who curses his father, his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. That's kind of a word picture type of verse. You're in darkness and you need the light, and it goes out right then, and it's pitch black, and you have no way to see. It's a curse. You've lost your way. You have no guidance. You're wandering, you're basically doomed. Proverbs 6:20, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. How many kids you think would not be on drugs today if they had paid attention to their parents? And would have gotten into a bad relationship if they had listened to their parents and followed their. And how many awful things people are now hooked to? And you know, you can get, when you get hooked on drugs, for example, I mean, you're hooked. It's much easier, I understand, to get into it than to get out of it. And once you're in it, you're stealing from everybody that you can find to get money to buy more drugs. And at some point you have to say, oh, how I have hated wisdom. I have wandered far from the path. Which they would not have that. That's part of that. It may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land the Lord your God has given you. You disobey your parents. You go somewhere you shouldn't go. Some kids never heard from again. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. And see, then he goes on to talk about the snare of the evil woman, which a young man will fall right into unless he's guided and helped by his parents and by the Lord. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Sounds serious to me. To the world, it's optional at best. It's a light thing. Oh, parents, we know, we can look something up. We can Google something and find out things my parents don't know, and I can act on that. Why would I go and ask them something?
when I can look it up on the internet and this doctor says it's perfectly normal to do this, and I'm just going to do it because I've followed the doctor there, Dr. Kevorkian. And I'll just follow that. See, there's all manner of ways people rationalize their actions to leave the Word of God. Honor your father and your mother. If you're on a jet, 30,000 feet in the sky, and they tell you, you know, these doors over here on the side, we should not open those. It says right on the side, don't open that. Well, there's a reason for that. So that you may make it to the end of your journey. Because you opened a door, depressurized the plane. Everybody flies out the hole. And you don't make it to the end. And you free fall for 5 miles, 6 miles. So there's a reason. And it's humble, but it's also reality to recognize that we need our parents. Now, there comes a time when we're out from under parental authority, but they still can be honored. They're still to be honored. They're still to be respected. You're no longer under their authority to obey their commands and guidance. You can get suggestions from them, and you can get counsel from them. I mean, you got your own family, and that's your responsibility. At some point, a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife. But you still honor them. There shouldn't be a time that you lose honor for your parents. And that's one of the Ten Commandments. How anyone could reject that? Every parent that has children wishes their children would obey them. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen to me. They want them to. And when those kids that are disobedient get older, they're going to want their kids to listen to them. It's a good plan. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And to violate it is to be there with a bunch of evil other characteristics. Any thoughts you have on this?